Hello and welcome. This is Contemplations. I am your host, Marlon Johnson, and I'm so happy that you have joined us for this episode 3. Contemplations is about growing and learning, nourishing each other through conversation and reflections about our experiences, and then developing advice and sharing that with each other. We are in the middle of a conversation with my good friend, Francis Ocheri. This episode 3 features the second half of that invigorating discussion. Here is part 2. All right, we're back with my good friend and brother Francis, talking about chapter 1 of Contemplations, but we've gone on a long journey across the Atlantic and back several times. And we've had some conversations about how similar life was on both sides. And some mentors that we've come across and learned from, and then some good life advice that we can all grow from. You know, whatever you do, do it to the best of your ability, because you are you, and not because of any expectation of a reward, but because you are a person. Excellence should be your watchword and your mantra.
Definitely
good. Thank you, Francis. So I want to turn a little bit now to The last part of the chapter 1 talked about how you can know whether something that seems to be blocking your path is really an obstacle or is really a fence to protect you from a bad outcome. And so I want to ask you about situations in life where you might have an opportunity that you might have missed that you to this day reflect and said, man, if I had known, I'd have done this thing or that thing. I'll give you one of my examples. So, in retrospect, this was very bad. In college, in Jamaica, at the end of the third year, that was our final year. And that is when we had interviews, people coming on campus to, you know, interview students. And for some reason, which today I don't understand, I decided not to go.
I don't think you really wanted a job back then.
I do not know what possessed me to say that this is not my scene, I'm not going there. Or maybe something happened and the schedule was changed, but I decided I wasn't going to make the effort to go. And the day came and went. And then it wasn't long afterwards that we graduated and I realized, what am I going to do with myself? All of my friends who went had gotten good jobs or good offers. Very comfortable. They were able to stay in the city. You know, and I had to be scrambling for what could I do. So I had to be, begging family, friends and relatives to help set me up with something. And today I don't understand why I made that decision, you know, but I think thinking back now, I probably was hard-headed and trying to do things my own way or to prove that I could survive without anybody's assistance or help. And it was maybe admirable in a sense, but totally stupid at the same time. So I don't know if it's good advice or not, but sometimes it makes sense to step back and listen to advice. And sometimes people trying to force you in a certain direction is not because they don't like you. It could be because they love you. And your resistance could be something that ultimately becomes something that you regret. But how do you know in real time what to do? Because it's hard to decide. You know, you don't know the future. You can only decide with what you have in front of you right now. And then you're stuck. You make a decision. You get burnt. You regret it. But life has moved on. So ultimately, do you have a scenario that you can recall where you had to make a choice that maybe you regret it at this point in time? And then how do you help someone in a situation like that one today make a decision?
I can't think of a decision that I regret. I think of a situation comes to mind where someone poured something into me, and up to this day, I think it changed my view of life. I was very hot-headed. Anytime I say that, people that are close to me say, "Really? You know, I was hot-headed." I said anything and everything that came to mind, irrespective of who you are. And so this same aunt that I referenced earlier on.
Yes.
I mean, obviously, like I said, we grew up, you know, we have this concept of a village, right?
Mm-hmm.
So someone else can counsel you. And so obviously, you know, this aunt didn't like that attitude of mine because it was a constant worry. And sometimes you have to hear the story from another perspective. So I went to visit another friend of my mom. Right? Her name is Auntie Mercy. I didn't know that my aunt had gone to report me, you know, to Auntie Mercy. And so I went, you know, for a visit. Didn't know what was coming. And then she just, you know, pulled me aside and just poured out her heart to me. I'm not sure how the conversation went, but I distinctly remember I broke down in tears.
Huh.
The main thing I learned from that episode was to be mindful of what I say, to be measured in what I say. And that has, up to this day, I will tell you, it has even helped me in my line of work.
Okay.
Especially when I'm dealing with something that I disagree with, I don't react emotionally to it. I take my time to go back, think through it. And if I have any disagreements, I'll call my boss.
Okay.
And say, this is what I think. And in my experience, it's almost always been positive.
Okay.
When I've used that, I don't call it tactic, but it's something that I have learned to be mindful and to be respectful and to just not allow my emotions to get the better of me.
Okay.
And you know, there's no right or wrong, but at least that's the way I handle things. Now, that doesn't mean it happens every time. There are times when I may react, you know.
Did that hot-headedness cost you anything?
I don't think it did, but I can tell you this happened in Form 3. And in the O-level, Form 4 is when you chose your subjects.
So Form 3 is about, what, 13, 14 years old?
Yeah, 13, 14... 15-ish.
Okay.
But for some reason, I had a different outlook in life where I even started taking my studies seriously.
Hmm.
Back then, I was happy-go-lucky. I didn't have any ambitions. Life is so interesting because you just took my mind to something that I hadn't thought about for a long time. But that questioned
about what did the hot-headedness cost you?
Yeah, okay, right. In my case, it did not cost me anything. I think it allowed me to refocus. Now, that doesn't mean I didn't make other mistakes down the road, but this conversation that we are having is bringing to mind certain significant milestones in my life.
Okay.
And this particular conversation that I had with Auntie Mercy is one of those that I can pinpoint and say it made me a better person. Not that I didn't make any mistakes, but there are this particular aspect of just saying whatever you want, you know, without any consequences, or thinking that, you know, you won't have any consequences. I had to change that aspect of my life.
Okay, good, good. Yeah, I tell you that there are people who appear at the right time to kind of put you back on the right path.
Yes.
And but sometimes we ignore them, you know, to our detriment and to our regret. The other decision point I have to think about is even the choice of college is something that I reflecting on it now, I think I did it all wrong, and went against some really good went against some very good advice, and it was my parents who had suggested that I go to a certain university, and there weren't many options in Jamaica at the time, and I had gotten enough good enough grades to go to the best one available, but it meant going very far away. It was another island entirely. And I didn't want to leave home. I've been to boarding school since 11 years old. I didn't want to go somewhere again, you know. And again, it was the right thing to do. Thinking about now, 30 plus years later. No, not 30 yet. Almost 30. Yeah. That they were right. But I was insistent that I didn't want to do anything I wasn't comfortable with anymore. I wanted to do my way. And they allowed me to, which I appreciated then, but I regret now, you know. And again, it's just like sometimes you wish somebody would just hold you and shake you and maybe slap you and said, no, this is just stupid, but I would have appreciated it then. And I think they're wise enough to know that forcing me to do a certain thing may have had a bad outcome, and I would have to learn my lesson on my own terms, which I did. I mean, I think that decision put me down a path that took me longer than my peers to kind of get back on track. And but it left me with kind of a thought that I don't know if one of my own children wanted to take a path like that, what would I advise them to do? I still don't think I should force somebody to go in a direction that they don't want to go. But if I can see them going into a fire, should I not prevent them from going into a fire? I think I should.
You bring up something that there's always this dynamic of parents, and I think you may have said it either in this episode or the previous episode, where parents always want their children to be better than that way they are. Okay. Honestly, if you look at my life and the lives of my siblings, I think we are probably one of those that can say we are, you know, by the grace of God, by the hard work and the sacrifices that our parents made, we are in a better position than our parents, and they are proud of it, right? One of the things that I've learned and that we are passing on to our kids is at the end of the day, and I've said that to my oldest son, right? He's 18 now, you know, about to go to college. And I've said the value system or the values that we are passing on to you is to prepare you for life.
Mm.
Eventually, you're going to leave our home, and so wherever you are, hopefully that value system is going to help you navigate life. Hopefully you don't make mistakes, because there are certain mistakes that can doom your life, right? Let's assume you end up committing a crime, a felony, you know, in as much as society says it's forgiven, you and I know that in reality,
yes,
if you happen to commit a certain, if you make a mistake, a crime, whatever it is, and you end up in a prison or you have a felony on your record, society sometimes is not forgiving in giving you second chances. So there are certain mistakes that you cannot, none of our children make those sort of mistakes.
It puts you on a different road entirely.
Correct. Yeah. Right?
Right.
But hopefully, you know, I'll give you an example. I've told my kids, no, I don't drink alcohol, right? That doesn't mean I'm better than, I think I said it. For me, I draw the line when people just, because at the end of the day, we know what happens when you drink in excess. So I've told my kid, eventually you're going to leave my home. If you decide to drink, that's on you. While you're under my roof, that is unacceptable. When you are, you know, outside of my roof, when you decide to drink, drink responsibly. Yes. My hope is that you don't drink, But obviously, you'll be an adult on your own, right? So if you decide to drink, that's on you. My hope is that you drink responsibly. Obviously, they have a lot of commercials and things to remind you not to drink, right?
Right.
Because of the consequences of what drinking. And there are a lot of people where I'm sure there have been examples of people that drank in excess and they attribute whatever happened next to what? The fact that they drank. Okay, and so to your point, there are certain mistakes that can derail your life.
Right.
There are certain mistakes that all of us can learn from. Within parenting, there's no playbook for parenting.
Truth, very true.
Every kid has a different personality, and you and I and, you know, the close family that we have, we learn from each other. Mm-hmm. And we bounce stories off each other. How do I handle this kid, right? I can be old school and conservative in how I look at things, but I've had to evolve. I grew up in a society where kids dare not challenge anything that came from the what? From the mouths of our parents. Our parents didn't need to explain why they did something. We were taught to learn through common sense.
Truth.
The kids that we have here, we have to explain literally everything.
Is that a bad thing?
No.
It's
not. Right. And that's what I'm saying. I've had to evolve.
Okay.
Right? Because again, but the thing is, in that society, it helped us. Our parents didn't need to explain everything. Okay, so I'll give you an example. If I came to your home with my kid and you offered food to my kid, my kid would, again, growing up, I'm using back home. The kid is going to look at their parents and there is some type of,
yes, I know.
Signal, right? Yeah. That would indicate, yes, you can eat or you cannot. And so we had this incident when our oldest was maybe about a year or two. Something happened. I don't know whatever this happened, but he was with his mom. And he did something and his mom did something with her eyes. This kid turns around and says it publicly, "Mom, what's wrong with your eyes?" Which was a giveaway, right?
About
back home, our parents didn't need to explain what that eye movement meant. It just meant yes or no.
What I have to ask you is this, and it's something I observed recently when I traveled back to Jamaica now, and I'm realizing I'm stuck in time, because as you said, when you were growing up, things were a certain way. And when you returned recently for your reunion with your classmates, did you meet their families and children? Are they the same way that you were when you were a young person? Or is it all different now?
You mean in terms of
how the children behave with their parents now?
Oh, no, it's different.
Yes.
It's different. I haven't, been back. But I can tell the way even the kids react is different, right? And part of it is the middle class has grown, and with this certain conveniences.
Okay.
And I'll give you the example of teachers being revered, right?
Yes.
It was unheard of back then to have a parent go and get in the face of a teacher for disciplining their kid in school.
Yes.
I hear those things. I don't use the word commonplace, but it doesn't surprise anyone when a parent gets in the face of the teacher for disciplining their kids. Now, growing up, in hindsight, we feel there were certain excesses of discipline.
Okay, that's true.
But we didn't know any better. Obviously, now with, you know, the advent of advancement in education and child psychology and all of that, right? There has to be a toning down of the level of discipline, right?
Well,
caning and whipping for us.
Yeah.
Well, and I would tell you, I grew up in an era where caning and it was the norm for us, but we didn't see it as punishment.
Oh.
We saw it as what? Discipline.
Okay.
Right? And so we didn't agonize when our parents with that. I would tell you, I was a classic example of my temperament. I look back and I'm telling you, if my parents hadn't been heavy-handed on certain occasions,
okay,
I probably would not be sitting here with you.
I understand.
And I'm not saying it was an absolute guarantee, but there are certain things that I used to do, certain things that I did, said, right? Petty pilfering.
Pilfering. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yes, stealing. Okay.
Yeah. I remember being quick. And I'm telling you, that's the last time I stole money.
Mm. So that's a situation where your parents saw you walk into the fire.
Yes.
And said, we have to do something radical.
We got to do something radical.
Yes, yes.
And it was a combination of being whipped, and I don't mean whipped in any negative sense, right?
I was disciplined.
Mm. Along with what? Counseling, yeah. Whatever you want to call it. And so, I said, this conversation is obviously bringing back a lot of memories of my upbringing and how those things have shaped who I am right now. And I have no regrets about anything that has shaped my life up to this point. You know, everyone has to take it, whoever is listening.
Mm.
I'm not saying I'm right or wrong, just to be clear. I'm just sharing my life experiences and the things that have what shaped my life.
So as we go into this final segment, the question I have here is really about how have you shaped your approach to life and parenting based on what you have learned or observed from your parents and mentors? How have you fine-tuned or shaped your parenting style based on what you have seen that works and doesn't work?
Mm-hmm.
What is your style now, and how did you shape it, or how did you refine it over time?
I think as a parent, I don't want to put percentages on it, but I firmly believe a lot of my parenting philosophy, the basics, are things that I learned from my parents, right?
Okay.
Being on time,
mm-hmm.
Doing your chores, knowing that, you know, a chore is not going to kill you, right? It is a way of preparing you for life. Being respectful. Now, like I said, my oldest is 18 now. I have learned, at the very least, to try and explain things to them when I'm disciplining them. Like I said.
Why?
The majority.
Why that? That's a change from what you grew up with.
Yes. Yep.
Why?
So, actually, growing up, I experienced both.
Mm.
But the majority of the things that we learned was based on common sense application.
Okay.
Right? There were certain things that our parents didn't need to tell us. We figured out based on the way they operated.
Okay.
But I've learned that my kids in this generation, they are different.
Okay.
And so there are times when, well, I'll give you an example. It was very rare for my parents to discipline me and then come back later and explain to me why they did what they did.
Yes, yes, yes.
That first act of being disciplined was enough to send a message.
Mm.
Here, there are times when I have to go back and explain it. And actually, I give that credit to my wife.
Okay.
Because when it comes to parenting, I can be a bit conservative. And I don't mean in any negative sense.
Okay.
But I have learned to really, well, not that I'm all the way there, but my wife is helping me to navigate learning that all our kids have different personalities. Now, there are certain basic things that applies to every kid. You know, in any household, you have to have basic expectations.
How does she develop? Because she grew up in Ghana as well.
Yeah, so she did.
But how does she develop this this mindset?
I think that, you know, when she comes on this show, you can ask her. But I can tell you that she has...
I'll make sure.
She has helped me navigate this piece with our kids. Because I will tell you, I had that same sort of mindset. I'm the parent. And you don't question my authority. There is some aspect that helps kids to understand. And there are times where when you become an adult and you enter the real world, all of us have jobs. All of us at one point or the other will have bosses or have bosses, right? And if it's not illegal, there are things that our bosses probably want you to do that we don't want to.
You're right.
So it's hard for me to...
You're making me think of something here.
Plain, but it's something that I've had to change.
There's a point you just made, though, that made me think a little bit about authority and have to do things that you don't want to do, but because your boss says so, that has to happen. And I go back to what we were saying earlier about the coaches, the sports coaches, where I still don't understand how it is that the same youth or child who would tell you, I'm not doing this thing at home because I don't want to. Tell me why I should do it. Explain to me. As I said, if they go to practice tomorrow and the coach says run 400 laps around the whole community and come back, they'll say, yes, coach.
Yes.
And they'll be gone.
Definitely.
So what is it about you as a father and that person as a coach that makes the individual respect, do anything that person says but challenge you?
I think when it comes to sports, it's probably different, right?
Okay.
Maybe just because of the playing time.
Ah, right.
Okay. Every kid wants playing time.
So they have something that they control something that you really want.
And actually, it's not just about kids. Even at a professional level.
True. True.
We have instances of soccer stars, established stars being benched.
Yes.
And it happened, you know, I happen to support Arsenal. Our current coach, Arteta, when he came in,
yes,
there were some top stars that I guess were considered divas. They showed up late. He didn't see them as having a strong work ethic. Ozil, Aubameyang, very good players, but he got rid of them. Ozil literally sat on the bench for almost 6 months, getting paid, let's say, $300,000 a week, and they didn't want to play him. So it is not just about kids. Even when you get to a certain level in life, all of us at one point or the other will report to someone, and you have to navigate that authority, you know, figure, right? So he's grown, he's an adult, but he's being paid to do a job, and the job has certain expectations. So the same way with either your kid and the coach expects certain things. If you tell your kid to go out there and shoot 400 free throws, you'll probably not do it. But a coach says shoot 400 free throws, he will do it because he knows he's going to give him playing time. You can't offer that playing time. In that particular instance, they will do whatever they need to do to end playing time.
So Okay, so you're onto a good point here now. So is it a matter that if you can give your child some dream or something that they really, really want, that you control, then you can dictate what they do?
Correct.
But if you don't, what do you do? You're still the parent. Where you're saying that, if I understand this correctly, if you need to find out what that person really, really wants, it sounds very political and very calculating. You really, really want to do this thing. You want to play this game. You want to be on this team. But I am the person holding the keys to you doing that.
Yes.
And until you do things my way, you will not get that thing. That sounds very hard and very harsh.
But maybe that's
life.
That's the reality of life, right? And obviously, your hope is that someone doesn't take undue advantage. Right. So I think we have to draw the line between somebody taking advantage of you and using it for their own means.
Okay.
And then someone using it as a way to motivate you to get to the next level. As parents, all our kids have their dreams.
Yes.
And our role, or what some of the things that we do, is to what help them achieve their dreams. Now, there are times when they are very young, they don't see it as their dream. They see it as us. Right. So we'll put them in a whole bunch of sports. And I know you and I have talked about,
yes,
you know, that piece, right? Where I'm getting to the point where I need to decide, is my kid in it because I put him in it, or he actually goes to get better?
Yes.
And I think that's the sort of navigation that we have to do, especially in our edit. I think it's more in the world of sports.
Yeah.
Right? Obviously, when it comes to academics, that's going to be a different ballgame altogether.
I want to maybe put a point on this discussion, because it's important what we talked about, that there's levels to helping somebody accomplish their goals. And it reminds me of in the scripture, the discussion about people, spiritual milk, that conversation, that when you start off as a Christian, you have the basics that you have to learn.
Yeah.
And then as you mature, you start doing other things. And I remember not long ago, maybe a year or two ago, somebody was making a point, is that, it was about the Old Testament and New Testament. The Old Testament has 1 million laws about things to do, not to do. And then Christ came and said, all that law was about love. But you have to mature. So as a child, you have to have the parents giving you all these rules. Do this, do not do that, etc. And you do it because the parents said so. And if you don't do what they say, you will not get to do what you want. But at some point, when you mature, you do things because you love your parents. Not because they make you do it. You find things because you love them, you find ways to show that love.
Correct.
And you don't have to be asked to do it anymore. I'm praying my children will get there eventually. But I think as I've seen myself grow through life, I've made the same change myself at some point. That you go from just, you're doing things because the rules say so, but you're doing things because of love. And I think eventually everybody gets to that point. If their parents have done a good job and treated them well, eventually it turns around and you start seeing the investment you made in your child, it starts to come back to you, because now they're asking, how can I help you? You're my parent. I love you. I want to do these things for you. What can I do? And it's a beautiful thing when that happens.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for it. It will come. But it just reminds me of that scripture that Christ said, that in the beginning, we needed all these laws because you didn't understand love. And when you understand love, then you don't need rules, because you do what is right, because you want the other person to feel that appreciation. So for now, yes, I will continue to be the taskmaster.
Yeah.
And insist on the rules being the rules. But at some point, I think there'll be a change, and I think things will be fine.
And I think it happens. I'm sure, you know, in your oldest is in college, right? For all of us, as you grow, you get to a certain stage where some of the guardrails are relaxed.
Yes.
Because that also allows you to be able to make your own decisions. Because if everything is micromanaged by us, it doesn't prepare the kid also for life.
Exactly right.
All
right.
And so it's we may not consciously tell my oldest kid that we are removing the guardrails. Hopefully he's using common sense and realizing that there are certain things that my parents either are not having me do or are not being insistent on it. Why? Because again, you are 18. 18 doesn't mean all of a sudden you know everything in the world, you know. And I always, honestly, I don't want to get offside, but I struggle with that aspect where there's this magical number of 18. And it's as if as soon as you turn 18, it's like you know everything about adult life. And I think we have to be mindful and not put that pressure on kids, or vice versa. Kids think that as soon as I turn 18, I'm sure we've heard those stories, right?
Yes.
Whether as soon as I turn 18, you can't say anything to me, you can't do anything to me. But you live in a society, you live in a family, and we all need to lean on each other.
Yes.
Through shared experiences. So again, hopefully as people listen, you know, they realize that we are not saying everything is right or wrong. It's just a matter of that's our perspective on life.
Yep.
And definitely, you know, I look forward to hearing that perspective. Actually, I always go out of my way to ask people of their perspective on how I'm raising my kid.
But
I do that, you know, among close friends at work, the people that I consult to, I'll seek their advice on things, because I think it's important to always get people's perspective.
You're right.
So that we are not insular, right? It's my way or the highway. There are different perspectives to life.
So we'll go back to the beginning now of what you said earlier, that you want other perspectives. You have said at the beginning that the wisdom you received was from the elders passed down one direction. But now you're saying that you're looking at things differently. You want input from other sources. So, and that is my last question. What are the things that your parents did, and you said so before, that you continue doing? What are the things that you will not do?
Candidly, I haven't thought of it. I have never... I don't think I've ever said to myself, man, I wouldn't do anything that my parents did. And the reason why I say that is, you know, in whatever situation that you find yourself, whatever it is that your parents were able to provide or not able to provide, I think you get to a situation in your life where you learn to appreciate and you look at the big picture.
Ah, okay.
You were raised in that home, absent any abuse. That, I draw a line.
I follow you.
But outside of that, whatever experiences that you lived under shapes who you are. And in my mind, that's the way I've seen it, right? You know, so when I first came here, we lived in New York with, you know, my dad and mom. And through everything that we've gone through, when we came here, we lived in a one-bedroom apartment in New York. One-bedroom apartment. So my siblings and I, in the evening, we'll put away the center table and lay a blanket on the carpet. But with it, my appreciation was the fact that I had a roof over my head.
Ah, okay.
I had food to eat, right? My parents never asked me to pay any rent. I was 21 when I came to this country. But
For the 2 years that I lived with
my parents, never once did they, and I was working. Of course, it was minimum wage. I was being paid $5.15 an hour in 1998, right? I also knew that it wasn't easy for them.
I imagine.
Right? But I appreciated what they did.
So you take the whole package.
I think you take the whole the whole package. And you make the best use of where you are. Like I said, outside of verbal, physical abuse, I've never thought of saying that, at least in my experience. I'm not speaking for my siblings. Just from my experience, there isn't anything that, you know, comes to mind that I'll say, oh man, I wouldn't want to do this. Because, and now that I'm a parent, I've learned to appreciate that parenting is very hard.
Good.
Okay.
Perspective.
The perspective has changed. Because I remember you bring up something. As a kid, I remember one time saying out aloud that I hated my mom.
Huh.
And I was very young. I think I was probably 8 years old. And I know it really hurt my mom. It did. I don't think she remembers it, but I remember it now that you are bringing this up. Because she was disciplining me for me being the same old guy, right? You know, so like I said, it's to your point, the word perspective comes in when it comes to where I am now in life.
Good. Well, thank you. I mean, I think that's a good way to look at it, that as the scripture says, all things come together for good. And to appreciate that the people who brought you here stood by you, took you all the way to adulthood, and they themselves were young people too, trying to figure things out along the way as well. And as I've gotten older, I've appreciated my parents being young people as well. At some point, I started realizing that when I was young, they were young too, and they were trying to navigate, and they did their best, and I appreciate it. So, appreciate it, Francis. Thank you. I will wrap this up by saying that I appreciate you taking a risk to talk to me and share some of this background, but I think it was a beautiful scenario, and I thank you, you know, for giving me this chance, and much appreciate it. Thank you, brother.
Oh, definitely. You know, I appreciate the invite, and it's been a wonderful experience. I don't know whether it's reminiscing or just, you know, looking over the short time that I've been on this earth, because obviously, you know, back then, you know, growing up in the village, those guys that we refer to as having the words of wisdom were always a great men, right? And we literally sat at their feet, yeah, when they told us those Anansi stories that related to life and how we navigate life, right? But I think, you know, life is meant to be lived together, and we all bring different shared experiences and life lessons. And so, you know, my hope is that we, you know, learn to show grace,
yes,
to each other, especially in this world where it's very easy because of social media and other things to just, you know, say a lot of things to people. All right. But again, we also have this era also gives us the opportunity to learn from different,
yes,
perspectives. Right. And so your experience in Jamaica, some of it based on our conversation, were similar. The value system that binds us together, when done the right way, is a beautiful fit.
Yes, yes, yes.
Right? And so, yes, in spite of political sort of divisions or religious, you know, divisions, when you get to know people at the core, everyone wants the best in life.
Yes.
And so, you know, and sometimes when we don't get to know each other, you know, that's when those things, we just make a lot of assumptions. And I'm not one of those that is very outgoing, but when I get to know someone and we connect on a value sort of level or perspective, it allows me to be open.
At the end of the day, we all have our blind spots and
yes,
vulnerability. So, you know,
Brother Milo, thank you. It's been a pleasure, you know, appearing on this program and allowing me to share my perspectives on my experiences for the short time that I've been on this era.
It is most welcome. And I should say, as you mentioned the Anansi stories, those also made it across the Atlantic. No matter what was done to erase it, it made it. But so Anansi is very much a part of the Jamaican culture. As a trickster,
he has his dude and his bag.
Yes.
And that's why they always share those Anansi stories.
Yes, yes.
He could be very good and very cunning and deceitful at the same time.
Yes. Yes.
But those stories were told to help us navigate life, because all of his eccentricities, eccentricity, right?
Right.
All of those, his good and his bad and his ugly, those are happening in life.
Hmm. You know, I would never have thought about it that way. From outside of the Atlantic, Anansi's a trickster and he teaches you how to be cunning and get what you want. I don't think I've got the impression that it was a bigger story to be told. So we got piece of it. And there's a bigger part of it that you should come back and tell me about next time, about the Anansi stories.
I look forward to it.
Madese, brother. Thank you.
All right.
So,
Asidemio.
So, so much learned and shared in a short time. Again, I appreciate it with my brother Francis for joining this episode. If you'd like to check out the book, it's available on Amazon.com. Search for Marlon Johnson Contemplations. It's in print and available as an ebook for Kindle devices. You can also check out my other thoughts and commentaries at my blog, The Newcomer, at www.marlonjohnson.wordpress.com. Keep on living, striving, helping. Until next time, walk good and help somebody along. Take care. God sustain and bless you. Give you guidance and protection.